and welcome to Useless, a podcast where we take the world's most random and useless knowledge and absorb as much information as possible. I'm Nora Noble.
And I'm Kevin Baumgartner. Each week we pick a different topic and explain it to you. Have you ever wanted to know about black holes?
How about why flappers had such great fashion?
Maybe just a little bit of information about how Gabriella was actually the villain of the High School Musical series, and that the things that Sharpay did was justified, and there is no reason that we're not talking about this. I will die on this hill.
Okay. Well, we are full of useless knowledge. I have a knack for picking up and retaining fun facts, while Kevin is really good at deep sea Wikipedia diving and clearly having opinions.
It's true.
Together, we are a font of useless information that only does us good at parties or mixers. But because we're in the midst of a literal plague, these useless little bits of knowledge are stuck rattling around in our brains. So please, allow us to info dump.
Now, we're not experts of any kind, least of all in our own fields of work and study. So like you always should with strangers on the internet, take everything we say with a grain of salt.
Listen now wherever you can find podcasts. And hey, maybe one day, you can be useless too.
I am your favorite local Aquarius, Kevin Baumgartner.
I'm your favorite two states over useless Cancer, Nora.
I was about to say, what's your name, huh?
Hi, I'm Nora Noble. I'm a Cancer.
I have a lot of LGBT friends, and one of the things that will always piss me off is when, like, I see people on the internet, they're like, oh, I wish I was gay. And I'm like, haha, yeah, because, like, gay people are funnier than you. Sure, they're funnier than me. I am the token straight in the queer friend group, and it's hilarious, mm-hmm. and they're fucking rad. However, God damn it. I just wish I was oppressed and society hated me, and people in our government just wish that I couldn't exist. Man, you guys are so cool. What the fuck? Dude, are you okay?
Hi, welcome to Useless. I'm the ethereal bisexual who wears all black.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so now that everyone stopped listening, this is a podcast where we obviously forget that we're recording a podcast.
Clearly.
But mostly, we have conversations like this while both of us extremely... I don't want to say it's because we're mentally ill. I also want to say our zodiac signs and just general upbringing has something to do with it. Just our existence. I love deep sea Wikipedia diving. I love knowing random shit. I love, I don't know, just existing. And, well, not really. But.
And I'm 300 different Snapple lids in a human suit.
Yeah. So what? Nora had the great idea, if you want to tell how this little podcast started. I mean, I'm sure you can edit. You're going to probably edit this down.
Definitely.
But, you know. What? Why?
Everything we say is comedy gold. So this all started with dolphins. There's nothing on this earth I hate more than dolphins. That's a lie, but like as far as like things that aren't people that I hate go, dolphins is number one. And so I know a lot of fun facts about dolphins. I can just rip them off the top of my head, but we're not going to do that right now. That's for a later time. But I was like, oh my God, I can make a podcast of all this useless information in my brain where I just like dive into all these stupid fun facts that I know. And then my best friend went, oh, you won't do that, knowing very well that I struggle to complete things. And so this is also a spite podcast. Suck it.
For me, honestly, my cishet white male in his 20s gene just got fully expressed. And yes, I'm in pharmacy school. Yes, I'm, you know, going to be a doctor in
yes,
a year
I
and going through
cooking.
Very.
Yes, I do the cleaning.
Yes, I do the cleaning. Yes, I keep the nana real sweet for your eating. But I also, yes, I'm extremely busy. But I'm like, you know what I need to do? My cishet gene activated. I woke up one morning and I said, I need to be a content creator.
Yes.
I need to make a podcast. People need to hear me talk because that's what all cis white het men do.
Yeah.
So
not having a small business on Etsy wasn't enough for you.
Hey, Kevin's resin, please go buy some coasters that are very cool. And I was like, you know what? I know a lot of stuff and I wanted to make a podcast called Hyperfixation where I just, you know, do this. And I casually mentioned it in our group chat, me and Nora, very good friends. Her over Twitter, basically. Met her over Twitter, very good friends. Put in our group chat and said, you know, I want to start a podcast. And Nora said, funny enough, actually, weird. And she said, I want to do a fun fact podcast. And I said, no fucking shit. No way. Our brain waves linked
they
up.
Just linked.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, let's start a podcast like it's ever going to happen. And here we are.
Thanks to work for furloughing me so I could divide all my attention into this.
Shout out pandemic.
Yes.
Basically, you know what? You can talk. I'm not going to be the white podcaster that talks over the token female co-host so he doesn't get dragged on Twitter. I'm going to be better. I'm aware and I'm going to fix it. If I ever talk over you, you can buy me a shock collar. Just to give a little bit of a description, talk about funny, random topics. I don't want to say useless was just kind of like a haha, useless fun facts. I don't want to say everything's useless. I mean, history is important, but is the history of the Duggars or, I don't know, random internet culture things that important?
Are all of my fun facts about dolphins important?
Like, history's cool and, like, it's fun, but I don't want to say everything's useless. That's what I'm trying to get across here. Mostly it's hyperfixation time.
But for our first one, since it's that time of year, we're going to do some, like, holiday fun facts, some holiday, you know, info dumping.
We're a very tangented podcast.
Yes.
I like tangents.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I also like tangerines. I kind of prefer cuties, though.
I'll kill you.
I'd like to see you try, bitch.
I'll come to West Virginia.
That's not
I
even where I am. That's the
oh,
wrong
shit.
State.
I was thinking of the McElroys. Just to kind of explain how we're going to do it, basically we've each picked a different topic that kind of either goes together or just has some central connecting thread that we can link together somehow. And we each are basically going to tell you a history of that topic, fun facts, just a meaty deep dive of information, fun facts, like, you know, things you might not know of, things that are like, you know, actually it came from this. Like, yeah. You're going to hear "well, actually" a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, Nora will tell hers and then we'll have do a little mid-roll ad with like a recommendation corner of just like, maybe, I don't know, a little bit of things that we've been doing and things you should check out that we enjoy. Mm-hmm. And then I'll tell mine and we'll, you know, have a good old time together.
Yeah. And like, as far as like my fun facts go, I'm not going to try to be like, here's a half hour of just like one-offs. Like,
yeah,
did you know
Jingle
Bells was actually a Thanksgiving song? That's true. But I'm not going to just be like, here's a half hour of that. It's, I have things to say.
Like, you'll see in the description, I'm talking about Krampus. So people, you know what Krampus is. I have a whole...
Is it Krampus is it Krampus? Or is that just like my Midwestern pulling out that
it's
A?
Either. I mean, it's really just converted from Germany. So like, basically I'll be doing, you'll hear some really bad German interpretations.
I love that.
Even though I have a super German last name.
I
have like a page and a half of information about Krampus. I might throw in some fun facts here and there about it, but really it's like, that's an interesting topic. Let me go as far as possible on Wikipedia and maybe throw in a fun fact, but really just base it around like one central, the fun fact. So yeah, Nora, I heard you have something. I don't know who I heard this from, but I heard you have something kind of fun to tell me about. And I would like to hear a story.
So, well, my first story is that I come from a little Midwest town. I'm not going to give the name because that's irresponsible to do.
Dox yourself. Yeah.
But I come from a little small town in the Midwest. I will say Ohio because I don't want to get shit for making fun of Ohio. I am an Ohioan. I'm allowed to do it.
Oh, I'm straight from Toledo. My address is... And my social security number while we're talking about it is...
And here's all my credit card numbers.
Please just add in a beep there.
Okay. I'll do what I can.
You do not have to do that.
But, so I come from a small town in Ohio. And the only reason my town pretty much exists is because of tomatoes. Like, for whatever reason, we have, like, a little canning factory, which, like, you wouldn't expect to be in a small town. But when I say small, I mean we are a village.
Oh, yeah.
So tomatoes are like a part of everything that we do. We started doing like a little light up parade for like Christmas in recent years, and it always ends with a giant fucking light up tomato. And 2 years ago, or maybe it was last year, they had furries with it.
Wait. Just so I'm currently in Toledo, big city, whatever, but I come from a small town. I met Nora in college, but I grew up small town near her small town, which is like really funny duplicity.
Yeah.
You're saying that redacted town name had furries?
Oh, there were so many furries. Anyway,
I love that.
At this light up Christmas parade, I was not prepared for it, but the float had a bunch of furries on it. There was a bunch of furries walking with it. And I just wasn't prepared for that to just happen. So that was like a weird, weird moment for me. And I'm pretty sure this is my earliest memory, is 2000. New Year's Eve from 1999 into 2000.
You were like 3 at this point, 4?
I was like four.
I'm 98, baby.
I'm 96.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I was old enough. I'm old enough at this point to remember things, but like, you know, everything's still kind of blurry. I distinctly remember my babysitter coming and waking me up, telling me to like, you know, put on my coat and everything. We went outside, met up with my parents who had like, you know, been out at the town little party for whatever. So cold. It was so freaking cold. I do remember that because I was mad just to watch a giant light up tomato ball drop.
What?
Yeah. Giant.
Why was it my drop. Town this cool?
So
rad.
Hometown, obsessed with tomatoes. There is a town in Alabama that one ups us every year.
With the furries or the tomatoes?
With the tomatoes. Because instead of tomatoes, they drop a giant moon pie.
Iconic.
Truly iconic. I was so excited when I found this out. Just like the fact that there are two towns in this world that I know of that just drop random food items for New Year's, iconic.
You know, not to let everyone in on the creative process, but like that could be a good deep dive of just towns that drop non-ball balls.
Yes.
I said balls too many.
You're a man. You're allowed to.
That's never going to not be funny. I'm so sorry. Like, just, you know, that could be a good topic for you. Like, you could talk about towns that drop non-ball balls.
Okay. Well, if we get a year, I'll do.
I mean, New Year's is coming up, baby.
We're already doing we're trying to do our holiday episode.
Nora, do you have something you'd like to talk
about? So now I have the real story. I am obsessed with the Puritans because they're freaking crazy. They're just wild and weird and wanted to oppress themselves so badly. And like, you can still see a lot of holdovers from Puritan culture and American culture because we are this weird nation of like horny on man constantly, but also insanely prudish. Like,
wait, so what I know, like, because I just want to like, make a guess, not really make a guess, but like put like what I know about this extremely specific topic before you tell me about it. Because I want to be basically enlightened about how wrong I am.
Okay.
So from my, like, what my very tiny Puritans were the ones that came over on, like, the Mayflower, right?
Yeah. Pilgrims, but, like, yeah, Puritans.
Pilgrims.
Scarlet Letter. Puritans.
Those are Puritans. We had to do that in high school. Mine was I for Insecure. And everyone's like, no, you're not. And I was like, you're right.
Thank you for telling me so much about myself.
And then they would be like, oh, no, you're not. Or like, oh, that's weird. And I'd be like, okay.
All right. Like, I'm out here just like bearing my soul to you people.
Literally. And everyone was just like, T for talkative or like S for, I don't know.
Sexy.
My flaw is that I'm actually too hot. But they were like Christian.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. God. Like your Old Testament Christians because they believe in Jesus and everything, but they also adhered a lot to the Old Testament. Whereas like now, like a lot of days, like especially like non-denominational Christians will, I don't want to speak for everybody, but like mostly adhere to the New Testament of New like Testament, Jesus's right. forgiveness and Jesus loves you. And like, you can have this like brotherly or fatherly relationship with God and Jesus. Whereas Puritans were like, if you blink weird, God will kill you. How it was explained to me, because I went to Catholic school for comparatively not as long as others have, about 6 years. Anyway, the way it was explained to me is that Old Testament sets up the way for Jesus, and then New Testament is, you know, all about Jesus and the flipping of the Old Testament. So you have the Old Testament of like, this is what things were like. And then you have the New mm-hmm. Testament is like, this is how things should be and how we can do better. So like,
okay. And that's why Puritans, yeah, obviously you're going to tell me, and I'm going to stop being the white guy on podcast who interrupts his female co-host yeah. and actually lets you talk. Mm-hmm. I'm being self-aware here.
We love it.
But so that's why, thank you. Yeah. Praise me for doing the bare minimum. Thank you. So that's why like Puritans, like Laura Ingalls Wilder and stuff, like they were very like, oh, she's an adulterer and like stuff like they're,
yeah.
that's really all I know is like Laura Ingalls Wilder, but like extreme yes. and very much like came from Europe, Christian, but like not like cool Christian, like extreme, thou shalt not show thine ankle.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's really all I know. So I'm very excited, and I'm gonna listen to you.
So,
I'm excited.
So I don't have a lot about, you know, Puritans in this one specifically, because like I can talk about Puritans for a very long time. This is more.
What? I'm shocked.
So I'm obsessed with Puritans because they're just like messed up. They're just this messed up group of people. And I remember in high school, my sweet sweet Catholic school, I had a really ballin'. I had a bunch of just like really ballin' English teachers. Like they were all great, awesome people. But when we started learning about the Scarlet Letter, my English teacher was like, I'm so excited to tell you guys about Puritans because they're weird, and like gave us like all this stuff about Puritans. And I think that's like what sparked it for me.
This was your formative moment.
It was.
English teachers are either perfect or they're the worst. And I'm glad she was perfect. Yes. You deserve
it. I had a lot of ballin' English teachers. I had three because, yeah, whatever. I'm not going to get into that. But I had three different ones.
Why not? Just call them out, Nora.
Yeah. Well, one of them doesn't work there anymore, and that makes me sad. But I think part of it is also because a lot of the students were, like, a bully to her because she was, like, a young, new teacher. And, like,
teens?
Yes.
If you're listening, do not bully your teachers.
Don't bully your teachers unless they're, like, really, really genuinely awful. But, like,
yeah,
she didn't deserve to get as much hate as she did. Like, there are things that I didn't agree with, like, in her grading and stuff, or, like, what she wanted us to do. But, like, she was a good person and trying our hardest and had, like, a genuine love and interest in all these things. And they were, like, bullying her, like, straight up in class. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I love you. I know the love of one student isn't gonna, like, overturn all the hate of, like, the mean girls table. But, like, I love you.
You watched the student athletes just crush her spirit.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just so sad, especially because when they love what they do, mm-hmm. like, yes, England, oh, the curtains are blue because he said, like, that's annoying.
Yeah.
But also, like, if you love what you do and, like,
yeah.
you disagree, but, like, they're cool.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. And,
like, I understand why exercises like that, especially for students, are just, like, annoying and they feel so monotonous at times. But, like, it's really important in the long run of things of, like, reading to understand and pick apart these metaphors and, like, these meanings and stuff. Because, like, when I got to IB English, I was the colors, numbers, and flowers person. Because those were my things that I knew the meanings of. I knew their importance in literature. Because, like, I knew these things. And, like, I still know a lot about, like, the flower love language. And for, like, one of my projects, I did, like, this flower bouquet of, like, Dorian Gray. And, like, each flower had a meaning. And, like, the color and the cohesion of it all, like, made sense. And, like,
this is now an English teacher defense podcast. If that's not what you want, unsubscribe now.
So sorry.
Thank you for coming.
I didn't mean to go on a
However, if you, I love your tangents. Keep this in. I love it.
Okay. Puritans are just, you know, fucking messed up. A little, just like little niblet of a fun fact of what I'm talking about messed up is that they wouldn't put buttons on their clothes because even if it was buttoned up all the way, like up to the neck, like under the chin, the sight of a button, even closed, suggested unbuttoning, which was inherently sexual and would lead to sin. So if they had buttons or fastenings on their clothes that were visible, like, they would find a way to cover them up. Like, there'd be like another flap of fabric or something.
I cannot believe.
So Puritans hated buttons, I shouldn't say they hated buttons.
I mean,
but they hated the idea of buttons. They, you know, no one, and it was also like a sign of like flamboyance and embellishment. Like, oh, look at you. You can afford buttons. Like, aren't you a prince?
Harry Styles.
Yeah. So like they would like, for many reasons, they were like, buttons are evil and sinful. But like, you know, so Puritans came to, you know, the New World to wreck up Native American shit, as they do, because white people, but also to escape religious persecution, in a sense that they didn't like that it was now like the Church of England, or it was becoming the Church of England. Actually, no, this was... I'm really bad at world history and knowing when things lined up. So Puritans, I want to say, were in the 1600s. Is that around...
I think so. I don't know the...
I'm going to Google it real quick. We have the technology at our fingers. I'm not going to play this game.
This is my favorite Gen Z millennial thing. When two people are talking and we're just like,
okay,
when was that? Do you know? I don't know. That's crazy. And then we all have a realization. Wait,
I have
a supercomputer in my pocket.
So the Church of England was established in 1534. So this was about 100 years later that the Puritans were like, peace, bye.
There's like this, I'm so pissed. This has been happening for so long. We've been oppressed.
Yeah. So the Puritans left because they left after the Pilgrims. So it was the Pilgrims first. We know all that. And the Puritans were 10 years later and were like, we are escaping England and the Church of England. We don't want to leave the Church of England. We just don't like how it's run. So we're going to reform it in a different country.
Huh.
Yeah. So.
Huh.
Yeah.
Running from persecution. Good. Running from saying that people wanting to do things differently than you in a way that doesn't harm you is persecution.
No, they wanted to reform.
Bad. They wanted to make it worse.
Yes.
Okay.
In
that's
their minds better.
Bad.
Running
from persecution. Good.
Yes.
Thinking you're persecuted because people like buttons? Bad.
Yeah.
Running to a different country to make buttonless society? Real
bad. Yeah. So I think essentially what it was is that they thought the Church of England was becoming too lax.
The liberals have taken over again.
Yeah, so they're like, peace, we're going to go to America. And now we're still feeling the repercussions of that decision. But anyway... they came in like the 1600s and everything. Buttons were a no-go. They shamed women more than probably any group of people ever have, for just like existing. Like they were very much the like, all women are bad because you're descended from Eve and she's the reason we have sin. Like, yeah.
I'm ready to post up. I never knew I would. You are converting me to being a Puritan hater real quick.
Everybody should be a Puritan hater. Nobody should like Puritans because they've just messed
us up. Hate all Puritans
up.
2020.
Yes. If you're still a Puritan in this year of our Lord 2020, I'm going to wreck your shit. I'm going to come and mess you
Candace
up.
Owens? Are you listening, Candace Owens?
Oh God, I don't even know who that is.
That's the lady who said Harry Styles isn't a real man.
Oh, yeah, no.
Man wear dress is same as women wear button.
They wanted to oppress themselves so badly. The cognitive dissonance, just astounding.
Amazing.
But if you want to hate them a little more, they
always
outlawed Christmas.
But okay, keep going.
Not so much as like the holiday itself that they outlawed, but more of like the celebration of it, because they're like, people are celebrating that too flamboyantly, which like on some level I can agree with, like especially in like modern culture. Yeah. Like it is, from the time Halloween ends, it's suddenly Christmas time, and I don't agree with that, but we don't have to get
like,
into that
Hallmark Christmas.
Yeah.
Like corporate greed, blah blah blah.
Yeah. But they thought it was
Christ back in Christmas.
They thought it was too flamboyant, too about like gift giving and money, which like they weren't Okay. They were right for the wrong reasons.
Are you converting me back to liking Puritans?
No. They were right for the wrong reasons.
But I mean, like, they sat down with capitalism. That's all. Yeah. Just something to think about.
Yeah, no, but they just, like, outlawed Christmas because they're like, we don't want anybody to celebrate it other than, like, go to church and, like, be sad because God was born. Which, like, is a weird way to, like, look at things. Like, I can understand that for Easter because, like, Jesus dies, but then he's resurrected 3 days and you can celebrate that. But, like, which they also didn't really, like, celebrate that as we do.
What?
I know. The Puritans just wanted to be impressed so
My bad. Blood pressure is through the roof. Okay. Just keep going. I'm not even going to attempt to understand.
So they wanted to impress themselves so badly. They oppressed, like, they banned their own, like, holiday. So there was no, like, traditional gift giving. There might be, like, small things, like, here, I got you a button that you're going to hide under your dress. Or...
Hey, girl, I do got you a button.
Or, like, it would be a reason to spend a little more money on getting something. So, like, they would probably still have, like, I shouldn't say probably, they still had, like, dinners, like, nicer dinners. Mm-hmm. But it was still very, like, a solemn affair because the Puritans were, like, very solemn people. Like, they took themselves way too seriously, which is why it's so easy to make fun of them.
Maybe I'm just wrong, but I don't get it because Jesus was born. Mm-hmm. Why are we sad? Puritans liked Jesus, right?
Yeah, and I shouldn't say, like, they were sad so much as they were just very solemn.
Oh, very much like, stereotypical Catholic nun.
Like, yeah, very, like, reverent, but in a weird way.
Like, not there like, was... rejoice, Jesus is alive. He's like, yeah. Jesus has risen.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, these are also, like, the same people that wouldn't use, like, color in their clothing. Like, it would be, like, very basic black or brown. And, like, part of that also comes down to, like, what can you afford? But also, again, like, having colorful clothing or, like, any form of opulence or, like, distinction in class was just, like, seen as, like, this horrible thing. And, like, you're flaunting your wealth and that's a sin. Yeah. So it's not...
Plain oatmeal.
Puritans and modern, they are the plain oatmeal of people. They are Kellogg's cereal, but for its...
Cornflakes.
Unsugared, not frosted.
No frosted flakes here. That's too opulent.
Yes. The pilgrims might be like frosted flakes, so like the people that came 10 years early. They're more like frosted flakes. There was...
A little spicy. Yeah. A little wrong, but
yeah, spicy. Yeah. Fun. But the Puritans are definitely unfrosted, bland cornflakes. But they're so fun to learn about. Every once in a while, you find a little nugget, like some oats that didn't... It's like if you mixed Oops All Berries with plain cornflakes, and you get a little spice, but there's more like cornflakes than Oops All Berry.
Like one handful of Oops All Berries into a big... Costco-sized box of cornflakes. Yes. You shake it up real good.
And every once in a while, you'll find, like, a wonderful, beautiful piece of just, like, weird knowledge about the Puritans.
The Puritans! So, I just, like, and this worked. Like, they came over in the Pilgrims, and, I mean, obviously, the other white people who were, I mean, you know, were here, were just like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
We should... be boring.
Yeah.
Like, that just happened?
Yeah. So they kind of, like, split into their own things. It's also, this is around the time of, like, Quakers as well, which were, like, very, I don't want to say they're very opposite from Puritans, because I really don't know that much about Quakers. And, like, mm-hmm. I know it's still, like, a form of worship that is around today. Like, there's a Quaker house of worship just, like, down the street from me.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. But they're... Where Puritans are very Old Testament, Quakers were much more Old or New Testament. I'm sorry, I got that mixed up. Quakers are very New Testament, so they're more joyful. They would take joy in some of the, like, simpler things in life, and Puritans hated that. So, like, if Puritans found Quakers, it was usually not a good time. But
on site,
it was on site for the Puritans. They were ready to square up, and the Quaker was like, "Can't we just like I live 10 miles away from town? Can you just, like, leave me be and not call me a witch?"
Oh, God.
Yeah, but, like, a lot of the like early American settlers mostly came for, I shouldn't say mostly came, but a lot of them came for like religious freedoms of like,
Right.
no one's really gonna oppress me here. We're gonna be the ones doing the oppressing. Unless like these different groups met up, like Puritans and Quakers, it was on site. Like people from the Church of England, and there were Catholics, and like, you know, just like a mixed match of like everybody.
That's really interesting to me because, like, in American, history class, we always learn about, like, oh, the pilgrims left Europe because of religious persecution,
Yeah.
they were persecuted. But then they,
It's never really
from
like
what
that.
I'm gathering, from what, like, you research and obviously know a lot about, they, the religious persecution was from themselves. So basically, what from what you're alleging, saying is that England was just like, hey, maybe buttons are fine. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we just don't have to be buttoned up for, or not buttoned, not buttoned. Maybe we don't have to be covered from neck to ankle. And Puritans were like, actually, you're oppressing me.
So I'm sorry, I'm doing a little more like Googling into things because I don't know that much about pilgrims. I know more about Puritans who came a little bit later. So apparently, because I'm looking up like, you know, five myths of pilgrims or whatever, that's what like the article's called or whatever. It's Washington Post, so take with that what you will. But the Pilgrims Came to America in Search of Religious Freedom is like the little subtitle thing. And apparently they went to Holland first to like settle in the city of Leiden, Leiden. I'm assuming that's pronounced like Leiden.
Leiden, Leiden. Oh,
Leiden.
yeah, Leiden.
Yeah.
Leiden, Leiden.
They encountered a lot of religious tolerance, I guess. They're like, people were like, yeah, no, cool, fine, do whatever you want. So like, I guess the reason of pilgrims leaving for religious persecution is partially true because they went to Holland first and they found that religious tolerance. But I guess, oh, here it is. They had two major complaints. They found it a hard place to maintain their English identity and even a harder place to make a living. So in America, they hoped to live by themselves. So they went to Holland and found that religious tolerance and they went, but wait, you're Holland people and I am an English people. I can't be English here. I need to go somewhere where there's no people. Hint, there were people.
If you can't hear it on my microphone, I rolled my eyes so hard.
Yeah.
The having a problem to make a living, that's valid,
Yes, I
sure.
understand that it can be hard to
But
like move to a new place and like make a new
when you
living.
said they couldn't keep their English identity,
Yeah.
okay,
Yeah.
then don't colonize.
Exactly.
I don't know if they were if the Holland Dutch, Hol I almost said
Yeah.
Hollandese, Dutch.
Dutch.
What if the people of Holland, easier, we're like, hey, you can live here. Just, don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. You can believe in God or whatever. Just, maybe let's merge. And they were like, oh, like, come on. So what else you got for me about Puritans? Anything
I
good?
don't have a much else about Puritans themselves, but I can tell you in other Christmas news that Santa drinks his respect women juice.
Okay.
So everybody I think knows at this point that Santa is based off of Saint Nick, like an
I will
actual,
talk about
yes, like an
that.
actual person, Saint Nicholas. Saint Nicholas kind of drank his respect women juice. He came from a like more affluent background. He'd have like considerable wealth. He's by no means like Jeff Bezos of his time. So Saint Nick, the actual person of Santa, drank his respect women juice. He came from an affluent background, nothing like, you know, Jeff Bezos, but like I would say more like upper middle class family.
Okay, yeah.
But he would like help, you know, like children, and he'd use his money to help get women out of servitude, like in bad
Oh.
servitude or like slave positions where like you have to like buy your freedom, so kind of like a serf situation, I guess.
Yeah.
But he would use his wealth to get women in like these bad situations out. I don't know a whole lot about what he would do afterwards, and I'm sure that's like I can just Google that real quick if I really wanted to. But I just want to say that
Yeah.
helping women out of servitude already is just like super hot and sexy and definitely gets my bells jingling, if you know what I mean.
Jesus Christ. Ho, ho, ho.
But that's part of where, the Santa myth comes from, is because he had this money, so he would, help the kids and give stuff to the children. But then also would be like, hey, girl, are you in a shitty situation? Here's some money. And my number.
I love that. Yeah. I just, because I talk about, you'll hear in a bit, about St. Nicholas, although St. Nicholas and Krampus are very related. I didn't do as much research into St. Nicholas, yeah. So that's really interesting to give my good boy, my good man, St. Nicholas, just a little bit of the background, because that's rad.
Yeah, there's also St. Nicholas Day, which is different from Christmas.
Oh you hold that tongue, because I'm going to tell you all about it in about 30 seconds.
Okay.
Well, you tell me what you were going to say, and I'll tell you if you're right.
Because my mom is a teacher, an elementary school teacher, and she would do this thing, Christmas Around the World, where we'd learn about all these different Christmas cultures. And it was my favorite thing that she did every year. She can't do it anymore, which is very sad. But at the end, just before Christmas break, she would get, some parent volunteers and teacher volunteers, and she would have, a Christmas feast for everybody, where there'd be, a different dish from around the world that people would have. That's a Christmas. So cool. Yeah, it was really good. But something we would do too is we had these little passports that we made. We do a bunch of different crafts. And we would always
use stamps.
Yeah. And we would make these little clog shoes out of paper. And you could color them and everything, because we're third graders, we're little. And we'd color them in, staple them. So they're little shoes. And then we would leave them on our desk because St. Nicholas Day comes before Christmas. So usually we were in school for that. We'd leave them on our desk, and the next day we'd come in. And there would be candy canes or pencils and little novelty erasers. She would leave us little treats, and she would that was St. Nicholas, because that's the myth. It's on St. Nicholas Day, you leave your shoes out, and next morning you've got he leaves you treats and candy canes and stuff.
Well, Nora, I'm actually glad you said that. But before we can get into that, I think I need to go get a refill on my eggnog. You want to go to the ad section?
Oh, you know it. I'm feeling noggy.
Gotta go. Oh, I hate it. We'll be right back with a recommendation corner. Just stay tuned.
Kevin, you smell so good.
Thanks. I'm just glad that you noticed. From Virginia. Through the computer screen.
Of course, I'd recognize that Terabusi Creek smell from anywhere, even from 484 miles away and through a computer screen.
Well, today, everyone, we want to tell you, our listeners and beautiful best friends, about Terabusi Creek. They're a small batch, handcrafted, homemade business that specializes in creating plant-based formulas to enrich your skincare and self-care routines.
They have products ranging from candles to facial care to bubble bars, even to monthly boxes. And with restocks happening every other Friday, you never have to go too long without your favorite smells. Kevin and I each have a few different products that we absolutely adore.
When Nora and I started this podcast, we had both agreed to never take a sponsorship from a product we don't love or a company who has shady values. So believe us when we tell you that we love Terabusi Creek. They're cruelty-free, vegan, and have strong stances on various current social justice issues like Black Lives Matter and LGBTQ rights.
My current obsession is a dreamy soap bar with lavender, sweetgrass, and a hint of moonbeams. Made with ingredients like shea butter and olive oil, my skin is feeling fine and fresh.
As a skincare connoisseur myself, the Backwood face mask with charcoal, kaolin clay, and tea tree oil leaves my oily little greasy face feeling fresh and ready to take on the world.
And his haters. Support small businesses and your favorite podcast by enriching your skincare routine by visiting terabusicreek.com and using the code USELESS10 at checkout to receive 10% off your entire order.
That is terabusicreek.com, TarabusiCreek.com with code USELESS10, and you'll receive 10% off your entire order.
And hey, with Terabusi Creek, you can smell useless too.
At this point in the podcast, I think that something I think is cool, and I've seen another podcast that I like, is kind of a recommendation corner, just for a little bit for us to talk about things that we're doing, things that we like, to shout out, things that we're enjoying. And I don't know, give people the hype that they deserve. And, you know, ads are great and good and all, but I think that, you know, just things that we're genuinely enjoying should also get like a little shout out. So, Nora, what have you been doing this past little bit to get yourself through the pandemic? And what do you want to recommend?
So I've been doing a lot of rewatching Starkid musicals. You know, of a Harry Potter musical fame. I think everybody's at least familiar with that title, even if they're not familiar with the show. They have obviously improved in the decade since that was released. It's been a little over a decade, actually, I think, at this point. But I would like to recommend Guy Who Didn't Like Musicals, which is one of their newest productions. It came out in 2018. It's part of this anthology series that they're doing. The second one released last year is called Black Friday. That one's also very good. And the third one was, I believe, supposed to be released this year. Obviously, that didn't happen because you can't do live theater, even recorded, you know, really right now. But, like, they do wonderful productions. Like, they definitely learn each time that they do something new of, like, what works and what doesn't.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to recommend? Anything fun? Even if it's not a content, just, like, anything cool you've been doing?
I mean, I've been sewing and crocheting a lot, and I cannot recommend enough just learning how to make your own stuff and just crafting in general, even if you're not that great at it. Like, I was a bad sewer when I still started, and I'm still not, like, that good.
Do you enjoy it?
Oh, but I love it. And I made myself a fun pineapple dress this past week, and, like, I still have to fix the hem on it and everything, but, like, it's cute.
I thought it looked great, yeah.
That's because you didn't look at the hem. You have an untrained eye, Kevin. Get on my level.
Oh, duh. Sorry. Edna Mode. Of course, I'm not her. I can never be her.
Finding a way to just, like, make something for yourself just for the joy of making something, I cannot overstate. Because I crochet. But, like, it's just a fun thing to do. And, like, it makes me feel good about myself that I can create something from what looks like nothing. Like, what looks like a tangle of string to somebody is to me like, oh, I can make a hat out of that, or I can make, like, maybe a scarf if I have enough, you know?
Just having a creative outlet. And I mean, you know, doing this is one thing. Like, this, I would, you know, definitely say that, like, podcasting or gaming is, like, a creative outlet. But, like, being able to make something too that you're proud of, and, like, yes, you know, podcasting is one thing, but we're looking up other people's facts. For you to just take a piece of cloth and make something, like, I made this, that's so cool. Rad. Well, awesome. So I think my recommendations, I wanted to shout out, this is kind of like a year's worth of recommendations. It's not going to be a lot, but kind of the things that I listen to almost every day, I really enjoy, I think people would like. The first one, probably, like, my biggest, like, podcast inspiration, definitely, And That's Why We Drink, as well as Beach Too Sandy, Water Too Wet. And That's Why We Drink is a true crime paranormal podcast ran by Christine Schieffer and M. Scholes. They have Scholes. Sorry, I love you, M. They just really good banter, really funny. They are informative. They're really cool people. And then Beach Too Sandy is ran by Christine and then also her brother, Alexander. They read Yelp reviews. It's just fantastic content. They're so funny. I also play D&D. Nora's in my D&D group.
What's up?
If you don't know what D&D is, I mean, Dungeons and Dragons. If you think it's, like, dumb or nerdy, I would highly recommend to look up, like, Dimension 20 or Not Another D&D Podcast. It can be so fun.
The Adventure Zone is definitely my favorite D&D podcast.
The Adventure Zone.
But even D&D seems like too much. There are a bunch of other tabletop systems out there.
Yes.
There's one of my favorites that the McElroys did on Adventure Zone for Amnesty, Monster of the Week, is essentially it's 2d6, and it's either you success, you get a mixed success, or you fail. If D&D seems like too much, there are other ways to play tabletops, and that's a great way to, like, make friends or connect with friends.
Also, I have a PS5. I was one of the lucky ones who could get one on launch. A game that I've been playing lately with my really good friend Billy. We've been playing Spellbreak, which is kind of like Fortnite, but it doesn't have the building mechanics, which I never really took a shining to. It's free. It's cross-platform. You can play with whoever. A lot of fun. And last thing, Ni No Kuni 2. It was on sale, and I'm like, this looks interesting. It's very much an RPG, team-based, kind of Final Fantasy-ish. You don't have to play the first one to have the second one. The second one has, I've heard, a better battle system and stuff, but either way, it's like, story's not perfect. It's very stereotypical JRPG, really fun game. I had a good time. It's open world. I get to manage a kingdom. I get to hyper focus and micromanage on building a kingdom like Dragon Age. I liked it. I had a really good time and I would recommend it. It's a PS4 game originally, but I think it's on all. No, it's only PlayStation because I made Billy mad at me because he has Xbox.
And that's our recommendation corner.
So, Nora, I know at the end of yours, you were kind of talking about St. Nicholas a little bit. And I was kind of like biting my tongue because I'm going to talk about that. Do you know, tell me first, before I get started, what do you know about Krampus?
So I really don't know that much about Krampus. I remember that movie a few years back. I didn't go see it. Didn't it have the guy, Jim from The Office was in it?
I think it's Ben from Parks and Rec. Jim from The Office was in the movie where if you talk, they could hear you.
Yeah, a Quiet Place. Yeah.
But Ben from Parks and Rec, Adam Scott, was in Krampus, I believe.
Yes, thank you. That's who it was. Because I remember seeing that and being like, he doesn't belong here.
Literally.
I know it's some kind of mythology. I know it's like an anti-Santa, essentially. But like worse, because he'll kill you. I really don't know that much.
You know, not too far off. So cool. Basically, what I'm going to talk about, obviously, is Krampus. I want to do a summary and then I have some cool origins, what he looks like. It's going to be a wild ride. I knew a little bit about Krampus like you, did a deep dive as the podcast, literally the entire point. My sources for this, I just Google, but I use Wikipedia, Britannica.com, Smithsonian Mag, a website called Historically Speaking, Nat Geo and Travel Dudes, and also a couple Mental Floss articles and Den of Geek.
I'm gonna retcon here a little bit, and I didn't just pull shit out of my ass for the fun facts corner. It's stuff that I already kind of knew about and just kind of used Google to reinforce, be like, okay, yeah, I'm not just pulling this out of my ass. So
I am a traumatized medical student, a pharmacy medical, same whatever, student who gets graded on his citations. I could do this all in AMA.
Yes. MLA is the superior format, but anyway.
Incorrect.
Well, we can
write that down on the list, Nora. This is another episode.
Essay formats.
Okay. So basically, where I want to start, I just want to kind of summarize it a little bit and then go deeper and deeper until we spiral out of control. This Krampus is wild. I was like, okay, yeah, he's a demon, he's a goat, whatever, anti-Santa. Insane. Basically, Krampus is most, and he's prominent in Central European folklore. Austria, Bavaria, Croatia, Czech Republic, Hungary, Northern Italy, Slovenia, Germany. He's basically he's known as the person who just punishes children. That's kind of what everyone knows him as. So in America, Santa gives you coal if you're bad and presents if you're good. In Europe, just in general, Europe goes hard. We have haha fairy tale and they're goat demon that'll kill you or you better be good.
Yeah.
He literally punishes children who misbehaves. He looks like a half goat, half demon. He is an anthropomorphic goat. You know Mr. Tumnus? Mm-hmm. Now imagine that, but taller. Hair everywhere. Huge horns, forked tongue. Scary.
Okay, where are you going with this?
So the name of Krampus derived from the German word. This is the beginning of my bad German pronunciations. I'm very sorry. My last name is Baumgartner. It means tree farmer. So Krampen, which means claw. Krampen, the white people, not white people. American way to say it, Krampen. Looks like it's Krampen, which means claw. In Central European, basically just Central Europe folklore, basically Krampus just fucks these kids up. He's known to beat kids. He's known to steal from them. He's known to steal them away in the night. Stuff him in his sack, which is just a backpack, and make them disappear. And he's said to take them to his lair and eat them and torture them. This is what parents tell their kids. Be good, or the demon goat man is going to come to your house, beat you with a bundle of birch branches, put you in his backpack and eat you and torture you in
See,
hell.
I think we focus too much on the positive reinforcement here in America. I think we need to go back to Krampus.
Really? honestly, Americans are just soft. I'm just built different. It's so funny. Like, I want to talk more probably later about Central, just European folklore, because we have the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus, but like, Europe, they go hard. With whatever they do, Europe does not fuck around. Basically, St. Nicholas rewards the good kids. They both show up like just bad bitches. St. Nicholas gives you kids candies and presents, and Krampus kills them. So be good or else. It's also not clear, like, if it's like a sliding scale where, like, yeah, you pulled your sister's hair one time, you get a thwack, or like, oh, you were a really bad kid, so I'm going to eat you. Yeah. I don't know if he has like a sliding scale or if it's just
let's roll the dice. It's just like you come across a child, you roll a d20, you got a 17, you get eaten. You came across an even worse child, but you rolled a 1, so he just gets a little thwack.
Yeah, or he'll just leave coal in your shoes. So, but before I get to like what basically all of that is, I want to explain his origins, because people think Krampus, Christmas, Santa. But that's not actually where he comes from, which is where
I
like.
Does he come from New Jersey?
This is what. No. Surprisingly, no. That was just so unexpected. This is like, looking up the origins of Krampus is what really pulled me in. And I went from like, oh, Krampus, whatever, to like, it's 2 a.m. I'm Googling Krampus wrapped in a blanket and I'm loving it. So it has nothing to do with Christmas at all, actually. So it predates actually to paganism, which like, we can guess the church hated the pagans. So from Smith, there's been some like discourse. I accidentally stumbled into Krampus Discourse Internet, which if you can ever read the comments on any article ever from Smithsonian or Nat Geo, do not it. Personal insults get thrown very quickly over the origins of a folk tale. And what people believe, I don't know. It is a weird place, the internet, I stumbled into, but there is a Krampus discourse side of the internet. So the more widely accepted, like, quote unquote, normie take is that he is the son of the Norse goddess of the underworld, Hel, H-E-L, Heel, Hel. That's where I got it from Smithsonian. I got it from Smithsonian Mag. There's a website called... A website called Geek and Sundry, though, actually says, no, that's probably not right. That's probably historians kind of, I don't want to say whitewashing it, because like they were Norse, you know, Norse was white, but like modernizing it and Americanizing it. It actually probably came from the pagan tradition called Yuletide. And it came from the Yule goat, they
Love
think,
that.
Which is like this Norse figure. And it's just literally like, I looked it up. I didn't get too far into it, but it's literally just like a goat. Like just
well, yeah. Cause there's the Christmas goat that pops up every year.
Yeah.
But that goat always gets set on fire.
Yeah. The Yule goat. They think that's literally what the Yule goat. And it's, so basically what I found was crazy is I got real deep into Yuletide, because while some people think, you know, just the Norse goddess of the underworld, a lot of people think basically no matter which way you slice it of where the origins of Krampus are from. Either way, it came from Norse and it came from Yuletide. So Yuletide in the 12th century, basically the Norse tradition, it was this 12-day long celebration. It was pagan, it was Norse, like that kind of area, Europe, Austria, Bavaria, etc. So it was a 12-day long celebration. It started on the winter solstice, which was the start of actually the calendar. So the calendar... The end of the year was on the winter solstice, because that was the shortest day, longest night. It only gets brighter from here. So it was basically just a 12-day long fucking banger. They partied.
Love learning about this shit.
I know. This is what pulled me in, because I thought, oh, Krampus, like it's just like a fucked up fairy tale. But like when I really got into it and found like the historical perspectives, I was like, oh my God. So it was like a 12-day banger. These people, it started on the winter solstice and they partied for 12 days after. It's kind of how people did things differently. How different groups of people in this area did things.
I mean, you know, just like different. People in the olden days really knew how to fucking party.
What I thought was interesting was like the 12-day long celebration.
The 12 days of Christmas.
12 days of Christmas. Yeah! Thank you. We did not talk about this before, I promise. All she knew was that I was doing Krampus. I'm glad someone else made the connection because I saw that. I was like, And also New Year's Eve. What do we do on New Year's Eve? Party, drink, yes. Celebrate.
Yeah. I'm also thinking, like, Krampus, he does evil things, and now we're into this 12 Days of Christmas thing, and, like, gifting somebody any form of fowl or poultry is just an act of violence.
Exactly. I don't know. It has to be a historical perspective somewhere about why the 12 Days of Christmas is the way that it is, but it really seems like they woke up and said, I'm going to cause
violence. Yeah.
Chaos. I chose violence today. The 12 drummers
That's
drumming?
An act of violence.
Like, how did we get 12 drummers, 11 pipers, 10
Lords of Leap.
Ladies no, dancing. 10 Lords of Leaping. Like, you're just... Oh, 10 Lords of Leaping. Dancing. 9 ladies dancing. You wake up and you just have descending amounts of people making a bunch of noise in your front yard with a tree and
birds.
And
they give you 8 maids of milking man, but they don't give you any cows.
So they're just like,
you better like, have cows or they're coming for those geese.
Legalize geese milk. If you're going to give me all that shit, you better give me 5 pure golden rings to make up for. Because if I have to deal with that many geese and birds and trees and noise and just general disturbances, you give me that shit. And you can't be mad when I sell it.
You can't be mad when I re-gift.
Exactly. So... what I was saying is, so like a 12-day long celebration, the Scandinavians would throw the feast and the party, and then at the end of it, they would burn a log, the Yule log.
The Yule log?
That's where the origin comes from.
I thought it was just a cake.
Nope. While the Druids and the Celtics, would burn the log for 12 days to banish darkness, protect their homes, welcome light. So like the Scandinavians would just have a banger and then burn the log at the very end, while the Druids and the Celts would burn one log. It said they would burn the Yule log for 12 days. I don't know if it's like a Hanukkah situation where like the log would burn this long, kind of like the menorah burned for that long, or if it's like the Yule bonfire, but it just said they would burn the Yule log. If they could burn a log for that long, let me know how, but... apparently it was to banish darkness, protect their homes because it was the darkest night of the year, etc. Are you Googling a Yule log?
Nope. I'm Googling how to say Celtic. Because I'm so used to it being Celtic.
Uh-huh.
That, like, now I have to know if I'm wrong or if you're wrong. I can't let this slide.
It's one of the words that I've read, but not really. I don't really have a lot of meaning, a lot of reasons to say that word.
Yeah.
What does Magic Google say? Which is always right, of course.
Yes. So this is from Mental Floss.
Okay.
Technically, it should be Celtic. And the reason we have Celtic is, do you want to guess why? English. Because that C-E sound is usually soft, like cedar or ceiling.
Are you going to deep dive this at 3 a.m.? That sounds pretty
useless. We can talk about that at some point.
Useless.
but I guess it's generally preferred to be Celtic as opposed to Celtic, which is, I guess, more of an English/American saying of it.
Right. So, also, what's interesting from Yuletide is Druids would cut mistletoe, and they would give it to loved ones to represent life through the dark months of winter. So, literally all, and no matter what, this 12-day banger, guess what activities they did?
What?
Reminisce on the past years, decorate trees, give gifts, burning the logs, feasting, telling stories. Does that sound familiar to anyone else? Decorating trees, reminiscing, maybe, I don't know, Christmas and New Year's? So, if you can't tell, I didn't mention Jesus anywhere.
Who?
Yuletide, Jesus, not really related. Honestly, Yuletide sounded real cool. Like, y'all want to have Yuletide this year? Yeah. Well, no, because we're in a pandemic, not allowed to do that.
We can party and Zoom in. It feels a little less lonely until you hang up.
What's very interesting is then the church came along, the tagline of history, then the church. The church, you know, did the little thing, scuttled their little feet along, came to Germany and Austria. One more thing I forgot to mention, sorry. The Yule goat, like I said, was just a symbol of good luck. And also, Old Man Winter was someone they celebrated because it was the longest night of the year. Old Man Winter was like the basically personification of cold and winter and snow and stuff. Because, you know, Nords, you think, you know, cold Skyrim Nords, whatever, yes, like cold weather. Old Man Winter was someone they were like celebrating and celebrating that he's finally done and it's going to get better from here. So the church got the sticky little fingers on it, came to Germany and Austria, and they said, actually, I don't really like that. Have you guys heard about Jesus? Hey, do you know who Jesus is? And all the Nords are like, no.
Hey, we could make a religion out of this.
Bill Wirtz, literally. That's literally what happened. The church came along and they're like, so I like your idea. However, what if we changed it and then also kept small parts of yours, but then make it bad? Haha.
Because also Jesus wasn't born in December. From accounts, the best people can tell is he would have been born like spring into summer.
Also, Jesus is not white.
Nope, and we can talk about that later.
Yes, but I'm right.
No, so, you are. I just have a think about it.
Oh, God. I didn't mean to set this off in a spiral. So the church, you know, did their little crusade, not the actual crusades, but just marched merrily. We roll along into Germany and Austria and said, actually, I don't like that. So they did their damned hardest to take this Yuletide celebration and make it fit their white ethnocentric Christian Jesus views. They took the Yule goat and made it Krampus. Old Man Winter all of a sudden started being St. Nicholas. What I thought was super interesting was Old Man Winter was not really, as far as I know, was kind of not a real person, just kind of like a personification. They took that and said, okay, so we're going to make it about me. But it's okay, we included you as well. We can have Krampus. So the good part, the one that gives kids presents and gifts and everyone loves him, jolly, the yin, that's going to be St. Nicholas. But I don't know, to make you guys feel included, the Yule goat thing, whatever, that can be Krampus, and he'll just kill children and be a demon. Good? Great. Interesting how the saint
is the good one.
Is the good one, and the pagans, all of a sudden, a thing that was just a symbol of good luck now eats children. Very interesting how this good-hearted, spirited tradition from the pagans was all of a sudden colonized. But it's okay. We kept the part that we kept from you is now the children eater. That's where some say that Krampus came from. But someone who has a little more knowledge than me in this actually did a deep dive, and they're like, no, actually, it's probably the church getting the little fingies on it. So how this all kind of relates to this, that's what the origins of Krampus, I guess, like how, where this idea of this demon goat man came from, why people kind of associate it with Christmas, because Yuletide got transferred into Christmas. Because the church. Basically, what can be agreed on, Krampus, there's many different interpretations, many different ways of what Krampus looks like. However, what is mostly agreed on is what most people think, tall goat man, half goat, half person, horns, usually a forked tongue, looks very demonic. Weirdly enough, something no one can figure out is he's usually depicted with having one cloven foot, like a goat hoof, and one human foot.
I don't like that.
One and one. And it's almost always like that. No one really knows where it comes from. I don't know if it's just to add to the uncanny valley-ness or what, but no one really has a good answer. Like, I'm looking at research articles and they're just like, this is your job. Don't me. It's scary. Always scary. Lots of times he has chains on him, which is meant to represent like being bound and like, I don't know. It's just odd. Just odd in general.
Yeah.
They basically, is something that is also commonly done. Like I said, he hits kids specifically wrapped birch twigs. Birch twigs comes up a lot in this. And I don't really know why. They say that the branches were commonly used during witchcraft initiation. So it was just something else that the church added to make a little more witch is bad, Saint Nick good. Stop being pagan. Pagan witchcraft scary. And they also, lots of times he has chains on, is depicted, which not always, but he's sometimes depicted with metal chains, and it's supposed to signify the church's phrase saying binding of the devil.
Hey, so do you remember when I said earlier that like flowers and stuff were like my thing about symbolism?
Yeah.
Would you like to know birch's symbolism?
Yes, actually, I would love that because I was confused on that.
So Historically, birch is a formal punishment, which a person is flogged with birch twigs. But
just like crumpet.
Yeah, but the symbolism of it, though, is like beginnings and renewal and like starting over and like rebirth.
Is it because he's eating the children? They're gonna get rebirth.
Yeah, see, I don't know if it's supposed to be like, I'm beating the bad out of you so you can start over. I don't know if that's, but like that is, it's symbolism is just like new beginnings. And I don't know if it's because it's like white, like birch trees are white. And so there's that like purity thing there.
That makes sense.
But then we use it for violence.
Literally. And it's also, apparently, that makes sense too with like the witchcraft. Because like, you know, I'm kind of like, I'm not a witch, but I have a lot of witch talk come up on my TikTok feed. And I think it's very interesting. Looked into some of the symbolism and stuff in birch. That makes sense why it'd be used in witchcraft stuff, especially initiations, because you're restarting, getting rebirthed into witchcraft, etc. Which is, witchcraft is super cool.
It's like a different kind of baptism. I don't want to say they're synonyms because they're not, and like a lot of witches practice differently, and there's a lot of different like forms of paganism and worship and everything, but like I could see that symbolism
the same way of like the baptizing into, as someone who's been baptized, obviously
I have
like
been baptized three times.
What?
But
is that allowed?
But
it's kind of like that. I'm a registered pastor with the Universal Life Church, registered officiant of weddings for Universal Life Church.
Yes.
On two different emails.
Yeah.
I'm a mega pastor or mega wedding person.
Yeah. But
I don't know what it's called. You know.
Yeah, but like sickness and health. You're starting over as a person in this new religion, essentially.
Yeah. That's actually super interesting. I'm surprised you didn't see that anywhere, of like the symbolism.
So it might not play into this in a way that makes sense. Like it could be a separate meaning that evolved elsewhere.
Well, it's just interesting because the only thing that I saw over and over was he had birch twigs specifically because it was used in witchcraft initiations. So it makes sense why it was used in initiations, because rebirth, whatever. And honestly, I think it was the church being like, witch is scary, paganism bad. So what Krampus does. So like I said, super devil, forked tail, or, you know, forked tongue, scary. Like you said earlier, December 5th is known as Krampusnacht, which means Krampus night. He would show up with Saint Nick in towns that night, just towns, just all over. It's kind of like how Santa visits everyone, but it's like Saint Nicholas and Krampus show up.
It's like boys' night out, but
literally
you're
just having boys' night.
But either you're gonna get the shit beaten out of you, or here's a candy cane.
Haha! Like the kid, the parents are literally like, good night, Timmy. Good night, Tommy. Hope I meet you, see you in the morning.
Yeah,
but if not, you deserved it, you little shit.
Yeah, I hope you don't get eaten.
Vore. Did Krampus invent Vore?
Don't.
Please don't. So basically, kids would put their shoes on the porch. The boys would be back in town. The boys would have a boys' night. They'd be like, all right, you go get Timmy. I got Tommy. Beat the shit out of Mary Jane for me, and I'll leave some candy for Susan. Got it? And Krampus would like put his sunglasses on and be like, hell yeah, motherfucker. How would you even sleep that night? Imagine being like, yeah, I might die tonight, but that's just life for me in Germany. Like, so these kids put their shoes out on the porch. Krampus and Saint Nick show up and either leave presents and candy. Sometimes he would also, again, leave birch twigs in their shoes. Saint Nick would. Birch twigs. Like he would. Right. Like, he would leave birch twigs in their shoes, and then Krampus, again, could not find a single thing on, like, if it's a sliding scale, if it's just a, let's spin a wheel and see what happens. But Krampus would either leave coal in the shoes, or he would break into your house, grab a bundle of birch branches, beat the shit out of you, and or steal you and put you in his sack, which is just a big old bucket on his back. And then take you back to his lair in hell and kill and eat you. Good night. And like the parents were just okay with it. The parents like were like, oh, good night. Like, hope my kid lives. But if not, like, that's on them. I'm built different. I made it through. He might just, you know, leave some coal. He might eat you, whatever. But that's kind of like what it is. And then literally an article said, then the kids in the morning would wake up and nurse their injuries and see if they got left any candy. What? I will say it time and time again. Europeans go hard.
So fucking hard.
Hey, bitch, do you really, really, really want to go hard? Like, Europe doesn't care. Europe is like, yeah, I hope you live. Anyways, do you want to know what Krampus is like today?
Is he sexy?
You're not ready for it. I can already guarantee you're not ready for it. Okay, so the first thing, this isn't modern, but Krampus, fun fact, was actually one of the reasons that greeting cards got popular. In the 19th century in England, greeting cards were all the rage because the printing press, mm-hmm. the ability to print things easily, one of the things that they would print is Christmas cards. Mm-hmm. And of course, with Christmas cards, because in this time, Krampus and Saint Nick were not associated with Christmas. Christmas was a different day, but Krampus knocked and, oh, I forgot to say Nikolaustag, which means Saint Nicholas Day, which is the day where you nurse your injuries and get your candy if you live. Mm-hmm. Was December 5th and 6th. Well, Christmas, you know, obviously December 25th. So these were different holidays. And once they started making Christmas cards, they're like, huh, you know what we should do? Let's make Krampus cards. Krampus cards is one of the main reasons that the greeting card industry took off. And Nora, before we move on to modern day, mm-hmm. if you look at our chat, I did send you a link.
Yeah.
Scroll up a little bit. Number one, you can kind of do a play along with us. You see Krampus stuffing a child into a basket while the little girl sitting next to her brother getting stuffed in the basket with a little bunch of apples.
She got apples and he's getting eaten.
Yeah, well, maybe he should have been good. I don't know. If I was him, I just would have not been a bad kid.
What was his crime? He looks like a baby.
Number two, you see Krampus sitting on a bundle of birch twigs. This is like the most unsettling one.
What because did those all babies drawn, do?
Except they have real life babies that are double exposed. So it's like a real picture of a baby double exposed onto a drawing of a goat man riding on a broomstick. It's terrifying. And this is the greeting card. Like, it's funny because it's like just so outrageous. Number four is a good one. He has two cloven foot, except he has children tied up by their hands, like in the beginning of Les Mis, and he's just dragging them along back to hell. Yeah, real messed up. These are all from the 1800s. Krampus was sometimes portrayed in these greeting cards as romantic and also a woman chaser. Sometimes there's greeting cards of Krampus chasing after, and I quote, big bosomed women.
Oh, so he was into MILFs.
He was after big mommy milkers. And these greeting cards in the 1800s, which is crazy to me because, like, that's not, like, as of now, that would be, like, you know, a funny whatever. But, like, in the 1800s?
Yeah.
That was allowed?
Oh, no. So number seven is he's sexy.
Yeah, sexy Krampus. And there's also female Krampus. What I'm getting out of this is Krampus is rad as hell. Like, it's just weird. So that was that trend. And I wish I was just talking about, like, Etsy shops, like, haha. No, this, what I just described to you, one of the main reasons that Hallmark exists is because of these sexually charged and just devilish greeting cards.
They're nasty.
So now, in modern days, obviously everyone knows about the Krampus movies, all of that. Not everyone, but that's kind of what we know Krampus about.
Yeah.
But there's something called Krampusluff. Krampus Luff, L-A-U-F, Krampus, K-R-A-M-P-U-S, L-A-U-F, which is known as Krampus Run. It is an event in Austria, which I would describe as the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade of Krampus. Basically, they set up barriers like it's a Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in this towns in Austria, and people line up. You have to get there at least an hour early or you're not going to be a good view of the Krampuses. And a bunch of men just come in like goat masks and fur suits and they put bells around them in chains. They have bundles. They have brooms and birch bundles and just act like dicks. They get super drunk. They run through the town and scare children and hit onlookers. And they like... It's not like you're walking and the Krampuses are behind the barriers. You line up to see this. You are watching. They are the floats of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade of Chaos.
Oh my God.
It's just a bunch of men. I'm sure women do it too, but this is very much a college town fratty man thing to do.
Yeah.
Where you just get drunk as shit. You hit people with birch twigs, put on a goat costume, put bells, chains on. Some people also dress up as like Saint Nicholas. Some people dress up as some other folklore in this area, which I didn't really get into because I couldn't go that deep. But yeah, if you ever want a good time, just look up Krampuslauf, and like, people scare children and the parents are like, ha ha ha. And the kids are like, I'm traumatized. Yeah. And it's just the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade of Goatmen. They just act like dicks. They scare children. They scream. You can hear it from like all over the city. They do it. I think they do it in multiple cities in Austria, but there's a big one in a, God. I didn't write down the city, but in a big city in Austria, people come from all over the world.
Oh my God.
It's kind of like coming to New York for Christmas and like
New Year's and the ball drop.
New Year's Eve, but going to Austria for the Krampuslauf. And it's just to get terrorized and yelled at.
Could you imagine not being aware that this is a thing?
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
And then you hear children screaming throughout the city. Do you realize how unsettling that would be? No thanks.
No thanks. I would immediately pass away.
Listen, I have a thing about mascots wherein they kind of terrify me.
Very common from what I've
heard. So like, it's because I don't know who's in there. I don't know who that is. I don't know their intention.
What are you hiding? What are you hiding, Krampus?
I can't see their face. I can't see their eyes. But like, I can't. This would be an absolute nightmare for me. This would be the worst day of my life.
So weird. I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm not trying to judge it.
It's interesting.
Odd. It's very interesting and deep dive worthy.
But I would die.
And then the very last thing I have is just, I read an article. It is written by Rosie Knight. It was on denofgeek.com. She ranked, I think it was 2019 when she wrote this article. She ranked every movie about Krampus from least.
There's more than one?
Oh, there are like 12.
Oh my God.
On this list. Yeah. So she ranked them based on least accurate to most accurate. There's 11 in this article. The least accurate Krampus movie is called
Mother Krampus 2.
Mother Krampus 2 Sleigh Ride, aka Lady Krampus. That's the whole title. It was released in 2018. It's not about Krampus. The title says Krampus twice. Not about Krampus. It's just about slasher. It's just a slasher film about that has a little bit to do with Christmas, and it's just a elderly lady who likes to kill people, I guess. Super low budget, I'm not sure, I guess.
Just like looking at that picture they posted of it doesn't look exactly
Krampus, the famous one, was actually the second in the list, and the first one was called Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale, which interestingly enough is not actually mentioned the word Krampus. They talk about a horned beast, but he's known only as Santa Claus, and he's seen once frozen in a block of ice. Basically, everything about Krampus is in there, but they never actually say Krampus. They just say, like, this is the whole point is that these group of people are going to find the original Santa, and that this was the original Santa, which is, like, a little bit true. There's just the evil horned beast, kids in peril, multiple Santa type figures, Christmas horror. Apparently it's like the most accurate version of Krampus lore wise. So Krampus in 2015 and Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale, if you want a good movie about baby boy Krampus. And that, my dear Nora, is everything I could pack in this little tiny walnut brain about Krampus.
Wait, no, I think Krampus Origins might actually be my favorite. It begins in World War II with Nazis trying to summon Krampus and American soldiers stealing the Krampus summoning machine.
Eventually, all roads lead back to World War II in the movie industry.
Yes.
Like, eventually, if it's not a specific, like, World War II story, eventually all mythology will have something to do in a B-movie with World War II. Please check this article out. Support Rosie Knight. I'm going to add her on Twitter.
Yeah.
Go follow us on Twitter. I think that'll do it this week. Nora, do you have anything you want to plug?
Just the butt of this episode.
Hey guys, that was me staring into the camera reconsidering being here.
You set me up and I dunked it.
Yeah, dunk's a strong word, huh? I will say, go follow us on Twitter. We're at useless_podcast. If you have any, questions, comments, concerns, send us an email at uselessthepodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a rating if you're hearing this. We love those sexy, sexy iTunes ratings.
We love feedback. We love reviews. We love if you share this. We love if you tell us this sucked and you never want to hear it again, because then we know we're going to keep doing it out of spite. Like,
yeah, that's the best part. If you hate it, I get it. Me too. That's fine. Yeah, if you have any recommendations about super just random things, even if you know, it's not useless, but like you want to see us do a deep dive, let us know. I just want to say our Google Doc is popping. Oh, we have like a table with a lot of topics. Go follow us on Twitter and all of that. And yeah, as of right now, we're planning on releasing every 2 weeks until we can kind of get a groove of things and we might reassess. But reach out to us. Let us know what you thought. Thanks for listening. I'm so sorry. See you next week. Two weeks.
2 weeks is the goal.
In 2 weeks. Stay useless.